That little lady walked down the aisle, and the usher who was showing her to her seat, as she turned to the seat, put out his hand and grasped her hand with a broad smile, said, "Praise God, Jesus is risen." And she raised a finger and said, "You know, that's the same thing that another man told me back there just a minute ago." And she absentmindedly went in to sit down. And the pastor said, "You see, that woman heard, but she did not hear." I don't want to be unfair to her. That may not be the case, but it was evidently the case. She heard, but she did not hear. She listened to the truth. Oh, after all, that's just, you know, Jesus is risen. She said, "Oh, yes, another man told me that a minute ago." And she sat down. She heard, but she did not hear. Now, that's what Jesus is saying right here. You can be in the church every Sunday of your life and assume every bit of it and never really hear any of it. And one time when that starts to happen, you lose capability to hear a second time to the degree to which you did not hear the first time. So he said, be careful that when you have ears, be careful that you hear. Now listen to what he says next, verse 16 of chapter 11. For unto what shall I liken this generation? Now he's talking about the Jews, this generation of Jews alive when he speaks these words. Now listen carefully. It is like unto children sitting in the marketplaces, in the markets, and calling unto their fellows and saying, "We have piped unto you, and you have not danced." Here's what that means. They had a game that was called wedding or marriage. And one of them said, "Hey, come on over and let's play wedding." And the other said, "Oh, no, that's too glad a game. I don't want to play that." And then he said, "We have mourned unto you, and you've not lamented." Others, they said, "Well, then, if you don't want to play a wedding, let's play funeral." And they said, "Oh, no, that's too sad a game. Let's don't play that." You know what Jesus is saying? You're just a bunch of spoiled brats. Nobody can reach you. Here's what he meant. John the Baptist came, and he pounced on them with the thunders of God's judgment and God's wrath. And they said, "That's too sad. We don't want that." Jesus came eating and drinking and smiling and laughing and gospelizing among them. And they said, "That's too glad. We don't want that." Jesus said, "Who will you respond to? Who will you respond to? You've got ears, but you don't listen. It's because you are self-willed and you have pressed out the possibility of hearing. Although you are exposed to it all the time, you never hear. You never hear. It passes through your ears. You assume that you understand it with your mind. It goes on its way. You never heed. You never respond. You never obey. What will reach you?" He says, "God sent the greatest man born of woman under the dispensation of the prophets, and you rejected him and cut off his head. God sent his own son with the gladdest message the world's ever known, and you're going to impale him on a cross. Who will you hear?" He said, "You can send anybody in between. You have become so accustomed to hearing, you never hear it. You never listen." He said, be careful. If you've got ears to hear, be careful that you hear. Listen to verse 18. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said, "He has a devil." The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, "Behold, a man who is gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners." Now listen to this sentence. But wisdom is justified by those few little people who hear and heed what God says. And it'll always be just the group, what Billy Graham calls the church within the church. And all the rest will be swept into the spirit of this age and lost in the deluge, or lost in the tumbling over the waterfall when the time comes. But follow me again carefully. Right after he said that, he turned to the cities of Galilee that had had a touch of his ministry. And the Bible says he began to rebuke them by name one at a time because his mighty words and his mighty works were spoken and done there in those cities, and they did not repent. They did not turn around. They refused to hear. They refused to obey. They refused to listen. So he picked them out one at a time. Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum. He said, "Why, if the things that have been done in you were done in Tyre and Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes a long time ago, but you will not listen. What shall I say to you next?" I want to remind you, in case you feel that this is harsh, I want to remind you that right at the end of this chapter, chapter 11, Jesus spoke the most touching and beautiful of all the invitations he has ever addressed to men, almost as if to say, "Please, please, one last time, I spread my hands before you. I open my lips to you. I pour out my heart to you. I beg you to come one last time. I plead with you. Come unto me. All of you who labor and are just beaten down with the load of your sins, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. That's the first requirement. You have to humble yourself to the ground to get the truth of God. And he said, you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's almost as if he's saying, oh, let me say it one more final time. One more last time. But then you come to chapter 12. And in chapter 12, you have the death of a nation. You've seen the decline and fall of the Jews, the nation of Israel. And in chapter 12, you have the death of a nation. Trace it with me very carefully. And be careful to listen with all the hearing of your spirit that God can give to you. Chapter 12 opens with Jesus and his disciples hungry, walking through the cornfields on a Sabbath day. And they begin to reach out and pluck the corns and the ears of corn, grind them between their hands and get the corn off the cob, and they begin to eat. Now listen carefully. Verse 2. But when the Pharisees, the most religious people alive in that time, saw it, they said unto him, they raised a controversy over what he and his disciples were doing on the Sabbath. And then in verse 9, Jesus went into their synagogue on that same Sabbath day, met a man with a withered hand, and he healed that man. Now look at verse 14, and if you don't mind writing in your Bible, draw a circle around verse 14. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against Jesus. In other words, they gathered a special conference how they might destroy him. Now that's what sealed the death of this nation. The religious leaders who had every option to turn to God through Christ said, no, we not only will not listen anymore, we're going to do everything we can to get rid of him, to cast him out of our midst, to put him to death, to kill him, to destroy him. We're going to do everything we can do. Now listen carefully, beginning in verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, now listen, he withdrew himself from that place. Now that's a typical sign of Jesus' final withdrawal temporarily throughout this age from the Jews, from Israel. So that we are now in a time of the Gentiles, the times of the Gentiles. And the Jews have throughout 2,000 years of history been set aside. Jesus rejected them because they rejected him. And they were destroyed as a nation, as it were, in spiritual capacity before God because they destroyed Jesus Christ. And it always reacts inside of you the way you respond to God. So that if you have a prejudice against truth or a presentation of truth, then God has to judicially blind your mind. God acts upon your mind. He takes away your capability to receive and understand the truth. Now listen, verse 16, chapter 12. He charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, he's talking about Jesus, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Now, you see, that's what the Jews could not stand, one of the things. They couldn't stand the possibility of God turning to the non-Jews instead of them, because they were God's pets. He shall not strive nor cry, talking about Jesus. Neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. That means he's going to be very gentle with those who are seeking truth, but who have been hurt by others around them, or even by their own quest, till he sends forth judgment unto victory. And in his name, and here's what they could not stand, in his name shall the Gentiles trust. You see, Jesus is now officially withdrawing from Israel and preparing for his ministry to the Gentiles. And then verse 22, then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him. And in verse 24, when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow, now get that term of contempt, this fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. In other words, they said, Jesus is Satan himself. And verse 25 says, and Jesus knew their thoughts. And he said, that doesn't make sense. Why, if Satan casts out Satan, you've got a kingdom divided.